A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at the 19th verse. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now when we come to this part of the Gospel, we can see that the embers of Thomas's faith are glowing dim, but they are still there. We mustn't think that he'd rejected all this business about Jesus or that his faith had been extinguished. It hadn't. A week after he'd dismissed the claim from the other disciples that they'd seen Jesus, he was still with them. He hadn't abandoned all of this. He was doubtful. He wasn't sure. But he was still there. He hadn't turned his back on them entirely. He was there, but doubtful. And in that context, we can see that Jesus' response to Thomas was a gracious response to Thomas. He offered Thomas the proof that he needed. He met Thomas where he was. But when Jesus is standing in front of you, what more do you need? It's all very well for Jesus to say, "Come and touch my scars," but the fact that he was there, surely that was enough. "Do not disbelieve, but believe," Jesus said as he coaxed from Thomas's lips the first recorded confession that we have of Jesus's divinity, "My Lord and my God." This doubting disciple became the first to acknowledge Jesus as divine. And that's quite some journey. But this pattern is something that we see throughout the Gospels. Think of those two disciples who are making their way to Emmaus. They meet Jesus and we read, they say to him, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." And they said this to Jesus with no doubt disappointment in their voices. But rather than wearily shaking his head and walking on, what do we see? Well, Jesus took the embers of their faith and showed them that the Old Testament refers to him, that the Old Testament requires all that happened to happen. And then what do we read? "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Well, think of the leper who, faltering, knelt before Jesus, "Lord, if you will, make me clean." He didn't quite have the courage to ask for the healing outright, but nonetheless he came to Jesus and asked, and Jesus stretched out his hand, and what did he say? "I will be clean." Or the words echoed, those words echoed by the father of that poor child who had these seizures. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus replies, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." And the father straightaway blurted out, "I believe, help my unbelief." And the child was healed. We must never forget that Jesus is compassionate. We must never think that he despises those who find faith a struggle. He delights to take those small mustard seeds of faith and allow them to grow into a mighty tree. Not all Christians grow at the same rate, you know. And not all of the Christian life is full of faith. Some grow slowly, as sometimes our faith stumbles. But don't be afraid if that's where you find yourself. Come as you are, stumbling before Christ. But let us turn our gaze once more upon Jesus here, because he is the compassionate face that we should remember when we pray. His is the tenderness that we should trust in when we feel weak. Oh, how he dealt with that father, how he dealt with that leper, how he dealt with doubting Thomas. His willingness to take even the smallest bit of faith and coax from it a great flame is the principle on which we need to rely. The love of God is not simply an emotion. The love of God is active. So throw yourself upon his mercy and he will hold you fast. He will never let you down, even when you let yourself down. So allow his words to Thomas to settle into your consciousness and to transform you. Do not disbelieve, but believe.